Another Christmas is upon us. The Christmas story can become so familiar that its most amazing features can be lost on us. We almost get to where we take it for granted, and so we miss certain things that are there. One question we need to continually come back to this time of year is simply this. What is Christmas all about? Why did Jesus come? Why did God send His Son into the world? Scripture certainly describes the purpose of His coming in many ways. In fact, many times, in many places, Scripture is very blunt, very forthright in declaring why Jesus came, why the Father sent His Son into the world. Consider some examples where Scripture is very straightforward in telling us why Jesus came. He came to save His people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. John 18:37. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8. Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Mark 2:17. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19:10. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. Mark 10:45. God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who are under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. For God, that's Galatians 4:5. For God so loved the world that whoever believes on Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. That's John 3:16 and 17. God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. That's 1 John 4:9. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That's John 10:10. So again and again in Scripture, what do we see? The Scripture is filled with these very clear, direct, straightforward statements telling us exactly why Jesus came. They're so plain, you can't miss it. There's nothing subtle about them. There's nothing hidden there. These are plain statements of His purpose in coming. But if you dig a little deeper, you can find further reasons why Jesus came. They're just as important as the very explicit ones, but they're more hidden. We've got clues we've got to follow. We've got little hints here and there. They're much more subtle, but if we'll follow those hints and examine those clues, we can see further reasons why God the Father sent Jesus His Son into the world. I think the perfect example of this kind of thing is found in Luke chapter 2. Consider what happens here with the shepherds and the angels. The angels, the shepherds are watching their flocks at night when an angel of the Lord appears to them. And the glory of the Lord shines round about them. And then the angel tells them the gospel. The angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." And then suddenly a multitude of the heavenly host join in praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest." And then when the angels went away back into heaven, the shepherds went into Bethlehem and they found things exactly as the angels had spoken. They found Christ, the Christ child, and there they rejoiced. Now, I think this part of the Christmas story gives us a clue, really a critical clue, helping us understand why Jesus came. There's a clue here that hints at another one of these purposes for which Jesus came into the world. Consider what you have in this scene. Consider the ingredients that make up this scene. You've got angels. You've got heaven opened. You've got the glory of the Lord. You have worship going on. What is this? Any ancient Jew would have known immediately, what is this? This is a sanctuary. This is a temple scene. In fact, this is the most holy place. And the fact that it is heaven that has opened tells you that this is the true most holy place. There was a copy of that heavenly sanctuary in the most holy place on earth at the center of the temple, where you had cherubim, angelic beings, guarding the glory of God as the people gathered there to worship. But again, you've got all those same ingredients here in Luke 2. You've got glory, you've got angels, and so forth. It's all there. But what's interesting to consider is this: that most holy place on earth, the copy, was not open. The people were kept out by veils. They were not welcomed into God's presence. I talked about that a little bit this morning. They were not welcomed into the most holy place. The most holy place was shut to the sons of men, shut to the Israelites. In the old covenant, the people had to worship God at a distance. There were these veils keeping the people out of the most holy place. But what's happening here in Luke 2? What's happening with the heavenly most holy place, the heavenly sanctuary? Luke tells us heaven is opening. The true most holy place is open, is being opened. The most holy place is being opened. The most holy place is being turned inside out. See, these shepherds on that night suddenly found themselves in the heavenly sanctuary, in the heavenly most holy place. The shepherds are in the presence of glory. The shepherds are suddenly inside the heavenly most holy place. They're surrounded by angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. They're surrounded by the glory of the Lord. See, this is yet another reason why Jesus came from heaven to earth. He came from heaven to earth to open heaven, to open the heavenly sanctuary to the sons of men. He came to bring heaven to earth. Or you could say he came to bring earth to heaven. Either way, it works. He came to unite heaven and earth together. The Son of God came from heaven to earth so he could open heaven to the sons of men. He comes to the earth so earth can be taken up into heaven, so earth can be heavenized, so earth and heaven can be made one. He came from heaven to earth to open the heavenly sanctuary to us even now. This is how John Calvin put it. Calvin said, "When Christ was thrown into a stable and placed in a manger, it was so that heaven might be open to us, not as a temporary lodging, but as our eternal country and inheritance, and that angels might receive us into their dwelling." C.S. Lewis, much simpler, put it this way. Lewis says, "He came down from heaven, can be transposed into heaven, drew earth up into it." Lewis is saying really the same thing, that Jesus came from heaven to earth to make heaven and earth one, to unite heaven and earth together, to make heaven open to the sons of men, to open heaven up to us. You may not have given this much thought. This is another interesting aspect of this. But have you noticed how many Advent and Christmas hymns and songs, how many Advent and Christmas songs we sing capture this whole theme of Christ coming to open heaven to us? It's a constant theme in the hymnody of the season. The hymn writers have captured this. So, for example, in "O Come, O Come, Emmanuel," we sing, "Key of David, come and open wide our heavenly home." In "Good Christian Men Rejoice," we sing, "He hath opened heaven's door." In Martin Luther's hymn, "All Praise to Thee, Eternal Lord," we sing, "Forlorn and lowly is thy birth, that we may rise to heaven from earth." There's this constant theme in the Christmas, the Advent and Christmas music, of heaven and earth being joined, of heaven being opened, of the heavenly sanctuary being opened up to the people of God. See, those shepherds really are representatives of all believers. They really represent all of us. The shepherds became believers in Christ that night. They really represent all of us. That night when Christ was born, they were given access to heaven. They were given access to the heavenly sanctuary. This is now a privilege we all share in. Heaven opened for the angels, and now heaven has been opened for us. Christ came from the heavenly most holy place to open the heavenly most holy place for us. See, I talked about all the ingredients you have in this story, the ingredients you have with angels and glory and these different ingredients you have that show you that this is a most holy place scene, a most holy place environment. The one thing that's missing in that environment is a priesthood. You need priests to come in. You need priests who have access to the most holy sanctuary. Well, where's the priesthood? Well, on that night, the shepherds became priests. And indeed, Jesus came to make all of us his priests, to give us access to the heavenly sanctuary. Jesus came to make us his royal priesthood, to give us access in heaven. So when we pray and when we worship, we're entering into the presence of angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. We're coming before the glorious throne of the Lord. We're coming before the very Shekinah glory. We have access to the heavenly sanctuary. Jesus came to open up this heavenly, most holy place to the sons of men. Christmas is about many things. Jesus had many purposes in coming, but this is central among them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.